Ryan and his wife Jen. We're so pleased that you're able to come and join us today. Well, you know, I was looking at his website, and for me to sit here and tell you all about Ryan would probably take 3 hours, and I'd have a list that long. But I'll just give you a few highlights. I like this paragraph. Ryan spent 17 seasons in the NHL as player and coach before broadcasting hockey games on radio and TV, choreographing hockey for movies. Now that sounds interesting. Okay, don't hit him quite yet. Wait. I can just see that one. Leading a professional hockey team as president and CEO. And I like this line especially. Jen has been married to hockey. Not to mention living as a hockey mom for over 30 years. So congratulations to you too. Ryan is an expert in team leadership, high performance. He has an MA in leadership and business. He's the author of 5 books. As I mentioned, he was an NHL player and coach, a TV broadcaster, president of a professional hockey team. He won the 2015 TEC Speaker of the Year Award, Stanley Cup champion, gold medal winner, NHL Man of the Year, and the list goes on and on and on. But here's something I want to add to the list. He's a dad. He's a grandfather. He's a husband. He's a Christ believer. I think those tell us that he is highly qualified to speak to us on his topic today, building winning teams. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Ryan Walter.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to see if that works. Good job. You guys are, you got an amazing tech team up there. So, I'm just a kid from the top of Caribou Hill in Burnaby, British Columbia. Right? Like, I shouldn't have played in the NHL. I shouldn't have won a Stanley Cup. I am so thankful. And Jenny and I are thrilled to be here with you today. What we want to look at is teams. So just to start us off, just to have some fun here, you might have to snuggle up next to a couple people. You don't have to stand if you don't want to, but I always like when we stand. You need to turn to each other or maybe in your pew and tell each other what you were doing in 1986. Okay, ready? Go. Now, as you're ready, come on back, but no problem. My two musicians over here, were you guys born yet? Oh, you're making me so old. That's awesome. How about my friends up here? Daniel, Don, what were you guys doing in 86? So cool. Who else has got a good one? What were you doing in 1986? Whoa. Don't tell Craig about that, okay? Yeah. Brilliant. Do everybody remember Expo 86 if you're in town? Yeah. So, I am so thankful. I had a chance to play with the Washington Capitals and played junior hockey in Langley and then Kamloops. Got drafted to the Caps. I was fortunate to be drafted number 2 in the world. That, can you believe that? Where's the gray hair on that kid? I blew a knee at 16 years old, and the doctors told me I'd never skate again. Aren't you thankful to the Lord for everything in our lives? I got traded from Washington to the Montreal Canadiens. We'll talk about that trade in a minute. and played 9 seasons. Jenny and I grew our kids in Montreal. I know you guys have great kids, but we have the best kids. Right? Like 5 amazing kids. And I give that girl a lot of credit. Their dad was on the road a lot. So we have great kids. We have 5 grandkids now. Who's got grandkids? Whoa, how good are grandkids? They're awesome. So Jenny and I love just sort of spending time with the family. We're in the family. I guess the family time never ends, does it? We feel like we're in the family time. I got traded to Montreal, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute, but does anybody know the guy in the middle there? Guy Lafleur. Guess who my first roommate was when I got traded to Montreal? Guy Lafleur. Isn't that crazy? I know. He was one of the best players in the NHL at the time. And then I got moved to the Vancouver Canucks, and I got to play at home for 2 years. So I'm so thankful to finish our career here. We grew our kids here, Langley Christian School, you know, all that stuff. It's been awesome. Just in case you never saw me play, because some of you are really young, here's just a little quick clip. And in, you keep watching, I'm number 11 in white with the Montreal Canadiens. You keep watching here, I'm number 9 with the Capitals and 9 with the Canucks. And I am so old, you keep watching. Do you remember the days when there was no advertising on the boards? Okay, keep watching. Look at that. Nothing. That's crazy. Now, that was every goal I ever scored, so I hope you didn't blink. Okay, we're done on the goals. We're done on the goals. In 1986, 23rd of May, we got a chance to, I'll start with Craig. We got a chance to win a Stanley Cup, and I just want to pass around that Stanley Cup ring. I'm really, I feel very comfortable in passing it around in church. No problem. Eventually it'll get back to me. These guys will get it, and they'll hand it back to us. So enjoy that for the afternoon. But I wanted to share a story about team. I am 59 years old. I'll be 60 in April. And when I look back, I've played on teams since I was 5 years old. I have been on some amazing teams, a team like your team right here. I've been on some teams that have struggled, and I've been on lots of teams in the middle. So I just want to share my experience, and then with your permission, we'll dive in to some ideas that the Lord gives us in Scripture around team. Right? Why do some teams win and why do some teams lose? That's my passion. You know, why do teams with the same skill go in different directions? Right? And isn't it true that whether we're a church or we're a family, right? We're a Christian school, we're a company. Would you agree that when your team is on, how good is that? When your church is on, how good is that? You can't wait to get here. Agreed? But would we also agree, leaders, that when team is off, how's your sleep at night? Do you feel it? So there's a bit of a synergy. I'm not going to call it a magic in team, but there's a real feel around team, isn't there? Let's have some fun with that. 23rd of May, we win a Stanley Cup. Would you agree, leaders, that you have to be a pretty strong team? All cylinders firing to win the ultimate championship. But you know, that same team, it's a pretty interesting story, at least for me. That same team in February, about 100 days earlier, was struggling. Underperforming. Our general manager, Serge Savard, was on the edge of making a couple big trades and firing the coaching staff. Think about that. So that's really our journey for the next 30 or 40 minutes. What changed? Right? And there's always principles. Don't you love the Word of God? Right? Those principles are transferable, whether it's winning a Stanley Cup or just loving and enjoying synergy in your family. Those principles work. So really what we want to sort of explore together is that little maybe line. Where's our church at today? Right? Are we flying? And probably we are. Are we somewhere in the middle? And the goal is not to say, here's where we're at. The goal is to say, where do you want to go? Is that not about every church in the world? How do we get to that next level? Right? How do we create the Great Commission in what we're doing at church? And how do we invite the neighborhood? Every church that we've, Jenny and I, have ever belonged to, those are the core pieces. Maybe I'd add one more to that. We come to worship Him, right? It's about Jesus. It's about Him. It's about worshiping Him in our lives. And that corporate worship, Jenny and I are here worshiping with you. There's nothing like that, agreed? I mean, I like music. I like Christian music on the station. And I like it at home. But there's something about being with you, worshiping with you, that is powerful. So what is a team? Let's have some fun with this. And I actually have a little bit of an interactive piece I want to do with you, because I don't want this to be academic from Ryan. There's what a team is. Now, the dictionary.com says, number of persons forming one of the sides in a game or a contest. Does that sound like my life? But you know, if you think about it, would you agree, leaders in church here, and every one of you is a leader, that we have an opposition? Agreed? And He doesn't want us to come to church. Agreed? He does. As a matter of fact, He wants to reduce our opportunity to win for sure in every part of our life. I sometimes, because we don't often see the opposition in our Christian walk, I'm not sure we pay attention to that. The world of hockey, we do something called pre-scouting. So we're going to play your team. We're actually going to pre-scout your tendencies. You think of the tendencies of the opponent that we have in the Christian church, it's pretty amazing. It's a little scary, actually. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ has the power over our opposition. So we're on a team, whether we sort of think about it or not. Agreed? And then I got to get this right. My wife has a degree in English, so I always blow this. But this one that we looked at is a verb, and this one apparently is did I get that right? A noun. No, that's a verb. Which one, Jen?
The last one was the noun.
Thank you, girl. That's the noun. Here's the verb of team. Joining a team, a band, or a cooperative effort. And you know the cool thing about team that I've always loved is it's your choice. I love that. Right? There's nobody forcing you into this building. There's nobody forcing you to play for the Montreal Canadiens, right? You have choices. I could ask to be traded. So I love this idea around team, and I just want to give you a context for our little time together. I am fixated on Philippians chapter 4. This is where I get really passionate about. So let me just read you this thought. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Here's the key words of today. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's hit me. The last 25 years about, you know, training teams, and Jenny and I do corporate training. We do church training. But you know what's hit me? Skill is not the thing that wins. Teams in the NHL all have skill. Guess what wins? The hearts and minds of people. Do you know what every pastor in the whole world is wanting? Commitment of the hearts and minds. Agreed? If we can get the hearts and minds of each other, whoa, we are flying. So we're going to explore hearts and minds today, because we believe that that's the core to team. And I love this idea in Philippians. A couple other sort of ideas from the scriptures. Would you agree, if you did a study on the hearts and minds in the Bible? That'd be a big study, agreed? So just a couple, right? So search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Anybody ever have anxious thoughts? We all do. We're going to give you in a minute a little bit of a, we call it a model, a mindset model, that'll actually show you where anxious thoughts come in your team. And we'll have some fun with that. We'll try to figure that out. How about in Hebrews, right? For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the mind, the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Right? So the word has great power in hearts and minds across the world. And when you see your neighbor come to Jesus, what changed? Economically, nothing probably changed. Right? Relationally, probably nothing changed. What changed? The hearts and minds of your neighbor. So the whole idea is that that probably is where the power is. Psalm 14, do not let the heart be drawn, right? We get drawn into things. I'll read this one for you because it's small font. Hebrews 3, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. So hearts. So Jenny and I really do a lot of work around hearts and minds. You know what's funny is corporations can't wait to talk about this stuff. Because you know what every company gets when people walk through the door? They get this. But you know what few companies get when your people or other people walk through the door? Few companies ever get this. I always think you can come, I'm just talking corporate now, to win or to work. Isn't that true? And I think that that's true about every team that we play for. Are we committed? Are we in? Do we get the heart and the mind of our people? So hearts is interesting when we think of what we believe, and then minds, what we think. And I got to say, from the world of sport, this is an area that we spend a lot of time thinking about, right? Let me dive in. So here's what I'm going to set this up, and then and thank Craig and the whole group here for putting this together. But could you look in your bulletin right now? There's an insert, and it's going to be a one-page sort of insert. And you should have a pen, too, because I'd love you to just sort of fill this out with me. It's always nice to be able to write something down and as a way to remember. So if you've got that, if you need one, there's lots in the back. And there's pens in the back. And this young girl needs one. That's awesome. She had her hand up. Do you need one, sweetheart? That's so sweet. That's awesome. Boy, your family looks a lot like our family about how many years ago, Jen?
20 or 30.
20 or 30 years ago. That's crazy. That's so cool. So this guy, let's set it up. This is Big Gino, plays for Pittsburgh. If any of you are hockey fans, the Pittsburgh Penguins have had some success. 2 Stanley Cups in a row. But can I say this? Before this team was successful 2 years ago, in December, they were struggling to the point where one of my best friends, Mike Johnson, who used to coach the Canucks, was coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he got fired in December. So I found this quote from Big Gino back when they were struggling. And a reporter asked Big Gino, what's wrong with your team? So have a quick read. Let me ask you this question. How's their culture at that point? Do you feel it? So here's a big thing that Jenny and I have been exploring. We're actually going to write our next book about that. It's going to be called Great Shift. Here's what we've been exploring. Culture turns on language. Right? This is so powerful. Think of John 1. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. Right? Think of Genesis 1. How did God create? He spoke. Culture turns on language. So the inner language and the outer language, the inner language in sport, we call that the inner game. It's what you say to yourself about the church. The outer language is what you say to others about the church. Culture turns on language. So we're just going to explore this just a little bit. And can I give credit to where I got the model? Jenny and I built the model out of Philippians 4. And we'll give it to you here in a sec. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 and 8. Finally, brothers, in Philippians 4, 8, whatever is true, just think of these words. Right? Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Isn't that awesome? You know what we found is I've been on teams that looked at each other and I couldn't stand to go into the dressing room together. And I've been on other teams that couldn't wait to get there. What's the difference? Right? It's what we look at. There's a great thought in the world of driving. Now, I've turned into a slow driver, or at least an average slow driver, and here's why. We love our grandkids, right? Like, we want to be careful. I used to drive a lot faster. But I'm not a fast car driver, but here's what those guys tell me. If we look at the accident, we become the accident. The number one thing in driving, I didn't know this until they filled me in, was that when you are heading towards an accident, you have to turn your head and your eyes, and then your body reacts. So the big point is, where the eyes go, the car goes. What do we look at when we see other people? If you're a little bit like me, you probably see what they don't do very well. Right? I don't know if that's humanity or if that's just what we call the negative bias. And so the whole idea with great teams is we focus on strengths. Agreed? What we can bring to this building, what we can bring to this organization, to this church. So think on these. Whoa, there's a good one. There, that didn't wake you up, but it woke me up. Okay, we're good. Think on these things is a powerful, powerful thought. And I am fixated on that one right there. There's your words. Aren't those great words from Philippians 4:8? So in things that I want to look at, you know, is it true and is it noble? And is it right and is it pure and is it lovely? And do I admire that in someone? Where's the excellence and how can I find things that are praiseworthy? And you know, this is a great one. Jen and I do lots of marriage weekends in the church. And you know what we love is when I'm on, and I'm not always on as a husband, and I'm going to tell you, Jen's given me permission to share some stories. When I'm on, I see her in those words. Right? That's my filter. So let's have some fun with that. There should be just a little model that at the very top has the thinking tendencies model. We're going to give you this model. We'll give you some scripture around the model, and then we'll finish up. It'll go quick. Anybody had a positive thought here today? Yes, three people. No, we all have positive thoughts, right? Totally. And coming in this door, you have a lot of positive thoughts. You know, I was just saying to Jenny, and thank you, everybody, for the worship. That was beautiful. Isn't it true? You could come in feeling really down and negative, and you worship God, where do you go? Isn't it awesome? It's like, shoom! Oh, that was so positive. So we have positive thoughts, we have negative thoughts. Agreed? And leaders, this is a very simple model. We have past thoughts, we have future thoughts. Remember, you don't have a neuroscientist here today. You have an old hockey player. But this is where it goes deep. Could you actually write in on the bottom left? Could you write it in there? Past negative thinking. Can you write that in? Past negative thinking. We're going to look at the five areas that teams dwell in, that teams look at their sort of life through, okay? Past negative thinking. All right, this is our turn now. What is past negative thinking? No wrong ideas, just fire out ideas. Brilliant. Write that in. That's brilliant. Regrets. Now, you guys have never had any regrets in your life, right? Do you know how much I've messed up? To be one of the top 700 players in the world, do you know how much I've failed? Do you know the words I said to an NHL general manager 4 days before I was traded? do you think I want those words back? Yeah. So we have regrets, agreed? Past negative also fired the word in disappointment, right? Regrets, disappointments. We could go deeper, but we're not going to dwell here. Here's the key to the model and to thinking and to this idea around Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Is that this is not a positive thinking model or a negative thinking model. This is reality, okay? But here's the key. If we ruminate, there's a big word for a hockey player. Rumination, I had to look it up. The core Latin root of the word ruminate is a cow chewing its cud. Agreed? Over and over. If we live in past negative, would we agree we're struggling? It's okay to go there and to get out of there. But if we live there, would we agree our energy is not going to be in the place that it needs to be? So what we find is that, you know, there's great examples of this, but how about in Numbers when if you think about, Israelites get out of Egypt, right? And it's crazy. I mean, God is liberating them, and yet what are they fixated on in the past, right? All the things that God hasn't provided them. We want to go back and have the garlic in Egypt instead of the manna in the desert. There's times when we fixate on that. All right, let's move. Bottom right, we'll go quick. Future negative thinking. Oh my goodness. This is gigantic. Future negative thinking. How do you explain or sort of identify future negative thinking? What are the words? Brilliant. Fire that in. Anxiety. What else comes to mind? Fear. Put those words in. Very good. Add to it worry. Agreed? Now, future negative thinking is not right, it's not wrong. By the way, past negative thinking has a lot of great attributes. Agreed? If you're going to build a better plan for tomorrow, don't you look back at what didn't work? Totally. With future negative thinking, don't you look ahead and go, whoa, what happens if this? Totally. But here's the problem with future negative thinking. You know, isn't it cool when science proves what God already told us in the Bible? I love that. And there's this thing called the reticular activating system, science says, in the back of our brain that gives us more of what we commit to. It gives us more of what we focus on. Think of that concept in future negative thinking. You know where NHL teams go wrong? Do you know when we go wrong? We go wrong in language. Do you know what we say to each other before a game? Hope we don't lose tonight. What are we fixated on? What does our brain pick up? Losing. Isn't that crazy? So would we agree the language of our church is critical? Because culture turns on language. Okay, so this whole idea of future negative is fascinating. And you know, can I say this, leaders? The higher you go in your leadership career within the church, within your corporation, within your family, the higher you go, here's the key, the more you're going to live in future negative thinking. You know why? What is leadership? You got to look ahead and go, well, what if? Agreed? So here's your big word. You need to compartmentalize your future negative thinking. Because, again, what does it come back to, leaders? Energy. Number one leadership skill in 2018 is that your people take on your energy. That's it. Right? Everything is about energy. Aren't you glad that the Lord can renew our focus and renew our energy? We're going to come to that in a minute on how to shift. So if you think of sort of this whole idea, let me take the Israelites again. The Lord liberates them out of Egypt, right? And they're in the desert and they're getting a lot of manna. And what do they say? Oh, we're sick of this manna and it's going to be here forever. Future negative thinking happens easily, doesn't it? Sure does in my life. So if you think about those two, what Jenny and I call this in just a real quick, simple way, we call this below the line thinking. It's not right. It's not wrong. It just has a certain energy if we live there. If we're always looking at what doesn't work, how's that conversation? Do you ever have conversations with people that keep telling you, that'll never work? I've tried that in the past. How's your energy after that conversation? Right? So this is not a positive thinking model. This is not about, oh, we got to be positive. But what does the Lord say, right? Is He not our most positive thought? At the end of this whole thing, right? Didn't we sing about it? At the end of this whole thing, we are and should be the most positive people in the world, because where are we going? We're going to be with Him. Whoa. How does that influence our philosophy? How does that influence our thinking? How does that impact our church? Okay. Quick little example here in future negative thinking. Now, some of you are so young, you would have to Google these two guys. Carl Wallenda and Philip Petit in the 70s. Oh, can't believe I'm that old. I was drafted in 1978. In the 70s, they were the top two tightrope walkers in the world. It was a while back, but Philip Petit, there was a movie on Philip Petit, okay? And Philip Petit actually walked across the Twin Towers in New York when we had them. And Philip Petit was quoted in the newspaper the morning before he walked. And here's what he said. Let me read it to you in case it's too small for the back. It's impossible, sure, so let's start working on it. If you want something, nothing's impossible. Okay? So that was his quote. That was his focus. That was his energy. Does anybody remember this? Wallenda died in the 70s. Fell off the rope in Puerto Rico. And Jenny and I found an article where Mrs. Wallenda, Carl's wife, was quoted in the newspaper after Carl fell. Have a quick read. All Carl thought about for 3 months prior to it was falling. It was the first time he'd ever thought about it. It seemed to me he put all of his energies into not falling, rather than walking the rope. Where do we want to spend our energy? Great, amazing teams have that conversation. Are we going to have issues? Absolutely. You know, I keep saying to Jenny, I've got a lot of issues. And they're mostly me. Right? But where will we spend our energy? That, I think, is such a good thought from this moment on to eternity. Right? Because we've only got so much energy. Are you starting to get a little bit like me? The best part of Jen's and my day now is when we can go to sleep at 9 o'clock. Right? Like, where did that come from? Oh, my goodness. We're so excited to be in bed at 9. Yeah, the day's over. We
we're running out of energy, aren't we? So really, as we keep growing towards God, where will we spend our energy? What does it look like? We'll have that conversation here. Top left, just fire in the words, past positive thinking. You know where this model's going. Very simple. Past positive thinking. And isn't this where we remember the great pieces in our life? Agreed? Isn't this, and I love the way you guys talked about it right as worship was happening. Isn't this reunion brilliant? I love this idea. You get together and talk about all the things that were so fun about what we did together. Past positive thinking, can I say this about leaders? Is the leader's greatest opportunity. Past positive voices are this church's greatest opportunity. You see, when we look back at what worked, what do we get more of? That. Love it. You know, the NHL is growing up in this area. So in the past, I was supposed to score goals. And I'm in Montreal, and I go 12 games without scoring a goal. How do you think that went? Right? A little bit of pressure with playing for the Montreal Canadiens, not scoring goals. And in the old days, you know what my coach did? He'd come up to me and go, Ryan, you better start scoring or I'm going to bench you. That was inspiring. Right? They're so smart in the NHL now. You know what they do after about 6 games without scoring a goal? Do you know what they do? The assistant coach takes a USB stick with the kid's last 10 goals he scored, hands it to him and says, watch this 5 times a day. You look back at what worked in your church so that you can have more of that. Agreed? I love that idea. And great teams are fixated on past positives. Jen and I go into a lot of corporations, a lot of companies that get it right. You know what they've got up on the wall in their lunchroom? Started in 1986 with one person. Here was the success we had. Here's that success we had. Here's that success we had. Here's that. Agreed? We're looking at how this thing got built. It's so cool. Finally, we call the word recognition. But finally, could you put in the top right, and we're going to come to the middle, the fifth mindset in a minute, but you know where this is going. Put in future positive thinking. Future positive thinking. What is future positive thinking? What words come to mind? I missed it. I love that. Thank you for that. Growth. Totally. Do you feel that? We're moving. What else? Future positive thing. A future positive thought for me right now is, Ryan, don't fall again. No, I'm just kidding. That's a future negative right there. Future positive thinking. What comes to mind? Hope. We can do it. I love those. Write those in. Awesome. Do you know there's a really interesting, so I'm fixated, the last 7 books I've read are on the mind, science and the mind. And I'm really fixated on this because I think there's some great information that we can utilize. And what we're finding is that when external circumstance hits our family or our church, we have 2 options, right? This is fascinating. We can see it as a threat, which is future negative thinking. And when I say threat, what words come to mind? Fear. What else? Keep going. Threat.
Anger.
You feel that? Do you feel your body close when I say threat? Like that's threatening us. And you know the response, fight, flight, fear, right? Freeze. Or we can see that external circumstance as a challenge. When I say challenge, what words come to mind? Doubt. Totally. You're not sure, but it's a challenge. Oh, totally, right? Hey, you know what? That same circumstance can be threats or challenges. And you know what a challenge is for me? I don't know if you feel this. I think you do. Bring it on. Right? Go ahead. What's the worst that can happen to me in life? I get killed and go to heaven. Everything else is awesome. Wow. So as we see through the lens of future positive thinking, I'm not saying this is a positive thinking model. I don't want us all to go out and say, oh, let's just be positive. We have to go below the line to deal with stuff. But really the question of this team, I'm going to call you a team, and the leadership of this team is, where do we spend our energy? Agreed? We are the coach of our mind. Who gets the ice time? Love that thought. And that's, Jenny always asks me to remind people about that. All right. Just going to go real quick here as we finish up. And I want to share, and there's a little bit of audio on this one, Don. And I want to share just a future positive look at the world of hockey, and then we'll start to finish up. This is Mike Camilleri, who's sitting on a Montreal Canadiens bench at 2:30 in the afternoon preparing for a 7 o'clock game. Just watch what he's doing, and then let's discuss it. And ladies, I do apologize. This is Don Cherry.
Watch this now. He said, no, look at this. I've never seen anything like this. And watch at the very end, when this is a long one, he's looking right at the spot where he shot the puck. See that? He's just, you know, now your guys out there doing their sticks and everything. Isn't that something? Whatever he's doing right. Now look at you looking at that spot again. He got that spot down perfect. You look at, see that? He's getting ready to just snap that puck like that. Bobby did this. Bobby would be in the dressing room. He would not go out. Bobby would be in the afternoon at 2:30 in the afternoon, getting ready for a 7 o'clock game, just like he's getting ready, not quite as early. But Bobby would do the exact same thing. Now watch. It's that spot that he was looking. Watch that spot. Boom. And he had another great spot with it before. And see that spot? That's his spot visualizing.
Thank you, Don Cherry. You know, I don't know if many of you know, you probably do, but Don has come to faith. Isn't that awesome? I know he doesn't always look very happy on TV, but but that's his shtick, right? That's his brand. So Mike Camilleri is sitting on a Montreal Canadiens bench at 2:30 in the afternoon, back when he played for the Canadiens, and he's preparing for a 7 o'clock game. What's he doing? Excellent. So in the terms of what we're talking about, he's in future positive thinking. Agreed? So what's Mike doing? Think about this. He's really focused on two things that great teams are focused on. What he wants and how to get it, and that's it. Everything else is a distraction. Agreed? So the future positive opportunity is, it really, it's not trying to be a positive person. Some of us have a little more pessimism than optimism. That's the way we were born. By the way, here's what science is now saying about that. I don't know if they're right. I haven't seen this in scripture, so I can't give it to you from that point of view. But that we tend to be, whether we're pessimistic or optimistic, our genetics tend to drive about 50% of that. 10% of that sort of positioning comes from external circumstances, you know, moms and dads, teachers, coaches, all of that. 40% is choice. Okay? Because here's the big question I was asked as a leadership guy. Nurture or nature? Don't we all talk about that? Do you come out of the womb as a leader or do you grow as a leader? And I think what we agree on is both. Right? You come out with certain attributes that God's given you, and then you grow those. Future positive thinking, at least 40% of it, is our choice. So we can fixate on what we want in our church and how to get it, and that's it. And when we're moving, would you agree it activates energy? Aren't those great meetings? Aren't those great times together? Okay. So, you know, if you think about it in a small way, right, a little more stress below the line, you sort of live in negativity, a little more hope above the line. The ultimate hope is Jesus. I had to give you one story in this area. You guys love rats, right? Awesome. Now, don't get after me. I'm going to be in trouble here. I'm just the messenger here. In the 50s, you could actually do this to a rat. You know where I'm going. So this is Richter, a social scientist, R-I-T-C-H-E-R. And Mr. Richter did experiments on rats in the 1950s. They took a bucket of water, three-quarter full, they put the rat in, and they'd watch him swim, 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 until he drowned. And sorry about that, but they timed the rat. The average rat would drown around the 15-minute mark, okay? So they found their baseline. Then they did some experiments. So they dropped the rat in, swim, swim, swim. They pull him out around 14 minutes, just before he's going to go down. And they let him rest on a piece of plywood and then put him back in. Swim, swim, swim. Pull him out. Let him rest. Put him back in. Swim, swim, swim. That rat swam for 60 hours. So think about this. 60 hours, 15 minutes. Then, you know, science. Science has got to figure out why. So then they got thinking cardiovascular. Right? You give the rat some rest and you give him some oxygen, and that rat can go more. And they look at each other and they go, no, 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 no. The rat had hope. We can live without water for a long time, agreed? We can live without food, although some of us like our food, for a long time, agreed? We cannot live without hope. What does Jesus bring us? We have the ultimate hope, right? That's what our Christian faith brings us. So that idea that hope is above the line, hope is in the future positive of our church, right? Hope is in the future positive of our team. So that's our little model of four pieces, and I'm just going to give you here really quickly, I'll give you the fifth in a minute, we're done. A little more fear-driven thinking below the line. A little more faith-driven thinking above the line. Here's your ratio from a science, if you want to write it in. It takes three positive interactions to every one negative interaction for most companies. This is not proven in church, but for most companies to hold the culture they have. So 3-to-1 is sort of your minimum ratio of positivity to negativity. And this is a fact. This is from John Gottman. Has anybody been to a Gottman seminar down in Seattle? They're a primary relationship experts. They are a marriage, right? And if you ever get a chance, go down to Seattle. And Jenny and I have been to 3 weekends. They're brilliant. And Gottman has watched marriage for 42 years. It takes 5 positive interactions to every 1 negative interaction to hold the primary relationship that we have. 3-to-1, we're in trouble. 0.77-to-1, inside and outside of the church, we're divorced. Fascinating. So is this a positive thinking idea? No. Is positivity to negativity in every team that we've all played on important? Absolutely. So the primary, Jenny and I always think the primary team is marriage. Agreed? Like that is the primary for many of us. Fifth mindset, fire this in. It's not past, it's not future, it's in the present, right? What did Moses say? If your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going. And we call it the flow zone. Can you just put that in just to have the same language? The fifth mindset is called the flow zone. It's in the moment, right? What does God say? Be still and know that I'm God, right? It's not past. It's not future. We're just fixated on Him in the moment. We call it the flow zone. Here's what flow is. 100% focus, total inner clarity, timelessness, intrinsic motivation. The church or the business or your mom and dad didn't have to tell you to do it. You couldn't wait to get it done. And finally, complete serenity. If you missed that slide, we'll get it to you. I'll send it to Craig. So how do we sort of shift energy? Let's have a conversation there. And I'd love you to just spend a minute doing one exercise and we're done. Number one way to shift energy from below the line to above the line in every team that we've ever spent time with is what we call intentional focus. Who do we look at? Remember this idea, the car goes where the eyes go. What are we looking at? And one of the great opportunities of our spiritual life is to look at Him more. Agreed? When we have intentional focus, we can literally go from below the line issues to above the line energy. Okay? So let me just turn to the second page, the back of that insert. And I'm going to give you 1 minute, and then I'm just going to finish up. Here's what I'd like you to do. It's called our hero exercise. And I'd love you, if you'd do this for us in just the next minute, could you write down 3 or 4 heroes in your lifetime? So there's a place there. You see the line where it says hero? 1, 2, 3, 4. And then under that line, there's 4 lines. And we'd love you to write down the qualities that you love about that hero. Okay? So I'll give you an easy one for our team, for church. Jesus. that's an easy one, isn't it? Because that's probably going to be on the piece of paper. So really, tell us what you love about Jesus. All right? I love that He sacrificed for me. I love that, you know, He loves me. Like, those are the qualities we're looking for. Let me give you another one. On below that, it, for me, would be mom and dad. Right? And on that one, I would put a love of family, and I would put integrity. See where we're going? So just do that quickly. See if you can get 3 or 4 heroes on the piece of paper, and see if you can get 3 or 4 qualities that you love about each of those heroes. Ready, go. So keep going, keep writing. I get to pick on Craig just to give us an example. What would you have for one hero, Craig, and a couple qualities?
I have my wife.
That's awesome. That's awesome. My wife's on that list too. What were some of the qualities you love about your hero?
I don't know, caring, loving.
Beautiful.
Kind, gentle.
Brilliant. Thank you for all of those. That's our example. That's what we have that in mind or write out a few more. Has anybody got one you'd like to share? A hero with a couple qualities? Just as we finish up. I'm good at waiting. Yes, sir. Brilliant. Love that. Perseverance, honest, brilliant. And I, you know, the word that comes with perseverance is resilience. Would you agree? Terry just stuck with it, and he was doing it with a high purpose. Thank you for that. That's a great example. Who else got one? A hero. Anybody? Yes, sir. Brilliant. That's awesome. Thank you for that. If you haven't done the exercise, no problem. We'd highly recommend you maybe you do it tonight or this afternoon. Has somebody got maybe 3 or 4 or 5 characteristics down on that piece of paper? Anybody got more than 3 or 4? Because I didn't give you a lot of time. Who's got one more? Give one more person. Give us a hero with some characteristics. Yes.
Jesus forgives us.
Nice. Brilliant. Don't you love that part? Oh my goodness, I can't get over that part. So here's our great little piece that we love to leave with you as we head out. This exercise is such a cool exercise. Because the characteristics on that sheet of paper are you. You see, you cannot love in someone else what you don't deeply desire for yourself. what you don't hold important. That cool? One of the great opportunities of our leadership in this team and this church is to keep our focus on our best. How did God build us? And then also increase our focus on everybody else's best. Remember my little story, the 23rd of May, 1986, we win a cup. But the 15th of February, 1986, we're struggling. In February, do you know what we were fixated on? Everything that was wrong with the team. Guess what we got more of? That energy. You know what happened? I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but on the 15th of February, 1986, one of our great leaders, Bob Gainey, got us together in a little table. And he pointed at the group and he said, "No more. Not on my watch." He said, "We've been dysfunctional for long enough." He said, and I love what Bob said here next. He said, "Fix it." He didn't tell us what to do. He said, "Fix it." You know, it's funny. We're supposed to be adults, right? We're like a bunch of little kids sitting around a table. Nobody talks. Finally, this guy says to this guy, "Why do you hate me?" This guy says, "I don't hate you." He says, "Well, you haven't talked to me in 2 weeks." He says, "Well, why should I talk to you? You sucked up to the coach. You got all my ice time." Do you know what Jenny and I now call that in our lives and the lives of the teams that we work with? We call it the unsaid. The stuff we're thinking, but we never have a voice to talk about. And we got the unsaid said. It wasn't pretty at first. But we got it out. We talked through it. Got our eyes off our navel in February. You know, poor little me. I can't believe the coach said that about me. And we got our eyes on a better goal, on something we could accomplish together. And we went, think about this, from struggling in February, 100 plus days later, we win the ultimate championship. Pretty hopeful, isn't it? Well, I think that's what Jen and I love about your team and all of our teams. Thank you for where you're at. And let me end with this. You know, Hebrews 3:1, right? When we think of future positive, fix our eyes on Him. So many problems go away when we're 100% fixated on what Jesus wants us to fixate on. Forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead. Isn't that a good thought? It feels a little bit like the model, doesn't it? You know, we can be really disappointed in our life, past negative thinking, or we can really fix our eyes on what we want moving forward. Love that idea, right? That he might, in Romans 15, that we could have that same attitude of mind of Jesus. Can we give a couple last words to an old guy by the name of Gandalf? I don't know if you've seen that movie. Love the thought, though. Cannot choose the times in which we were born. We can only decide what to do with the time we were given. And that's our church, isn't it? That's the power of this group of people right here. Right? From this moment forward, you get a chance to change the world. And we know you will. There's a final thought. There's a story that really hit me in my faith. And by the way, I need to share with you, in Burnaby, British Columbia, I grew up not really having Christian faith. As a matter of fact, my faith turned and became sort of important as I was on a plane that almost went down. That sort of gets your attention. There's a story at the time that really helped me. There's an Indian chief, and this, I don't think it's a true story. It's a fictitious story, but it's a great metaphor. An Indian chief that many years ago that had an amazing tribe. They were prospering. Big guy. And the big chief only had two rules. Wouldn't it be awesome if Justin Trudeau only had two rules, right? Two rules. Here's the rules. Love your mom and dad. Don't steal. That's it. That was the whole philosophy of the tribe. Everything's going amazing until someone says, somebody stole one of my objects. Now the big chief says, whoa, 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 whoa. That can't happen. That's against the rules. And he says, if we catch the thief, that'll be 10 lashes with the whip. It happens again and again and again. And so he moves it to 40 lashes. He's not sure that even he would survive 40 lashes. They catch the thief. It's the chief's mom. Now what's he going to do? Will his love for his mummy overrule his love for the law? Comes down to the big event, the big whipping. His frail little mom is tied around a tree. Big chief is sitting in his throne. And the whipmaster is going to come back. He's just going to come through with the first whip. And it's going to go right through her back, right? Like she's just a frail little thing. Just before the whipmaster comes through, the big chief goes, stop, stop, stop. Everybody goes, awesome. His love for his mummy overruled his love for the law. But as you can guess, he doesn't stop there. The big chief walks over to his mom, takes off his shirt. He wraps his arms around his little mummy. He says, Mommy, I love you. And he turns to the whipmaster and he says, continue. And he takes in his body what she deserved. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That's a part of our Christian heritage and our faith that I can't get over. I can't get over that Jesus would die for me. I can get that he would die for you because you're great people. But I can't figure out why he would die for me. Future positive teams. Thank you very much.